Hello and welcome to a Maths Oral Podcast. I am your host, Chris Hanusa, a professor of mathematics at Queens College of the City University of New York. Today we're talking graph cycles with our guest, Annette Pechorek. Hi, Annette.
Hi, Dr. Hanusa.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a master's student at Queens College currently, and I finished my bachelor's degree at Hunter College, and I'm hoping to pursue a PhD in the future.
Okay. So this semester you worked on a research project. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
So the focus of my research project was to see how many different non-isomorphic graphs share a common degree sequence. So what I looked at to simplify that question was just degree sequences of cycle graphs, which are all twos, and came up with a generating function to find out how many different graphs share that degree sequence without actually having to enumerate all of them.
Okay, so you're talking about graphs, and you simplified it so we have a long sequence of twos, and there's some graph, there are many graphs that have that same degree sequence that's just a string of twos. And remember, a degree sequence is for every vertex, you're counting how many edges are leaving it. All right, so what motivated you to look at this question?
I was always really interested in the Havel-Hakimi algorithm, that you could just be given a degree sequence and figure out whether it was graphic or not. So I just wanted to see what other kinds of things you could find out just from a string of numbers, what kind of information about graphs that gives you.
Okay. So what kind of methods did you use when you were looking into this problem?
So at first, I just picked small examples, small cycle graphs, and tried to break them down, and using those small examples to see if I could find patterns and build a generating function, which I was ultimately able to do.
Okay, and so how did you approach that?
So first I started with a cycle graph, a C8 graph, and I found that you could break that down into two C4 graphs, and that also shares the same degree sequence. And I noticed that it corresponded to partitioning the integer 8, where each part had at least size 3.
Okay, so you're talking about an 8, a C8, so everybody should be thinking an octagon.
Right.
And then if you look at every vertex of an octagon, it's connected to two neighbors. And so what you have is you have 8 twos in the degree sequence. And you said that two squares, if we were to look at two squares, that also has every vertex connected to two neighbors. And that disjoint union of two C4s gives you the same degree sequence too.
Right.
Okay, and so that was for 8. And what else?
Well, and you also can notice that an 8 can be a triangle and a pentagon.
Okay.
And then as you go higher, like a C9, you can break down a C9 into 3 triangles. You don't have to break them into just 2 graphs.
Okay.
You can break them into more. But it has to have at least size 3, because the smallest cycle graph is a triangle.
Okay, so you're thinking, so then that's why you said that we could think of this as a partition. So we take the number 9 and we could write it as 3 plus 3 plus 3.
Or 4 plus 5.
Or 4 plus 5.
Yeah.
And as long as each of the parts are at least size 3, then you're all set.
Yep.
And so what did that mean in terms of the generating function? If you want to talk about that. Or we can just...
So it corresponds to the generating function of partitioning an integer such that each part has at least size 3.
Okay. And like for all integer partitions, it's a really nice compact generating function.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool when you came up with that, right? It was like,
yeah,
you got that answer.
And so I tried to see if I could come up with some other generating functions for some other families of graphs.
Okay.
So still looking at cycle graphs, I tried to draw bridges into cycle graphs, adding edges into cycle graphs. And I couldn't come up with a generating function, but I still came up with some cool results and some numbers without having to enumerate, without having to draw out all the graphs.
Okay, so I asked you to bring in a number related to your project today to share with us. So what did you bring for us?
I brought the number 4.
Okay.
Which is the number of edges you can draw into a C10 or a decagon.
Okay.
Such that it creates unique graphs.
Okay, so we could, I guess we're thinking about... like
there's 4 different ways to add an edge between non-adjacent vertices in a decagon.
Okay. And you said you had a formula for that in general?
Yeah. In general, it's n minus 3 over 2, the ceiling of that.
So when n is 10, you had 10 minus 3 is 7, divided by 2 is 3.5.
So the ceiling is 4.
The ceiling is 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so how did that then play into your... into answering your question about this new degree sequence where you had one edge that's in addition to cycles?
So you look at two cycle graphs that share an edge, and those can be broken down, and the n minus 3 over 2 number gives you a place to start to break it up into non-isomorphic graphs.
In what way?
So you can start with your original, let's say, decagon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can draw an edge in 4 different ways, and you have 4 different non-isomorphic graphs, and they all share the same degree sequence.
Okay.
But that's just one way to obtain that degree sequence. You could also look at the ways to partition 10.
Okay.
Say 5 plus 5.
Right.
And you can also add an edge into one of those pentagons.
Okay,
and
great.
That gives you a different family of graphs, and they also have that same degree sequence.
Oh, right. Sure.
And you can do that with all the partitions of 10. Let's say 3 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Then 7 gives you ways to draw bridges, and that has the same degree sequence.
Okay, so you're just looking at all possible ways to have broken down this 10 and then insert one edge into one of these parts.
Right. And so that's connected to the question of the degree sequence of all 2s.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you look at the partitions that yields, and those partitions give you information about how you can draw edges in.
Oh, neat.
Because, for instance, if you have a C9 can be broken down into a 3 plus 3 plus 3.
Right.
But there's no way to draw an extra edge into 3 triangles. Because
okay.
Every vertex is already connected to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't, from that set, you won't get a graph with a degree sequence of a 3, 3, 2, 2, 2, for instance.
Right. Got it. So what would you say was the most difficult part about your project?
I guess it was frustrating not being able to come up with a generating function, ultimately, for
mm-hmm.
the sequence with the extra edge.
Right.
But it was still cool to be able to know that there was still some kind of way to get that information.
That there was
and,
still
and
structure
I feel like it's
there.
Still, yeah, and I feel like it's still out there. I just haven't figured out. It's difficult to conceive of graphs with generating functions because I was trying to think of how to think of like the vertices or the edges as balls and the vertices as bins, because you sort of have, I feel like your edges show up twice in the degree sequence, so that was difficult to work, like, to put those two concepts together in my head.
Okay. So if you had more time, what would you want to study next?
I'd want to look at more families of graphs. Some of them didn't really lend themselves easily to study. I feel like the wheel graph wasn't easy to work with, or the star graph. Those sequences are kind of set.
Huh. Okay.
Where I couldn't figure out a way to
right,
work with
them.
Right.
So you couldn't decompose it into something other
yeah.
than what they were already.
Yeah. Because you only had so many edges and so many vertices to work with, and there are only so many ways to put them together. But I would also see if there are some interesting bijections. Like the first few numbers for cycle graphs with extra edges are the same as the first few Fibonacci numbers.
Okay.
So I like to see I'd like to explore that connection further. And if there is some kind of family of graphs where the degree sequence does give the Fibonacci numbers.
So you're asking the question, is there a sequence of degree sequences such that the number of graphs that have that degree sequence is the Fibonacci number?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Make that bijection, understand why it works, what's going on there.
Nice. I like that. Okay, so thanks for coming in today and sharing your research.
Thank you for having me.
All right, no problem. So this has been a MathsOral podcast. Learn more at podcast.mathsoral.com. Bye.
Bye.